listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Merry Christmas, New Chapel. Can we give Jesus some praise in the house? Well, again, my name is Joe. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, and we are honored that you're spending part of your holiday, your tradition with us, and we hope that you'll make it a family tradition for years on end. We've been praying for you. My wife and I love you, and we planted this church nearly 7 years ago, not because Grand Rapids needed another church, but because we wanted to introduce people to a real vibrant relationship with Jesus that's beyond rite, ritual, religion, a real vibrant relationship. More on that in a second, but my wife and I, speaking of us, we've been together for 12 years, married nearly nine, and we just love you. We have three sons, my three little Dagos. I got Aurelio, Salvatore, and I got my little Filippo. That's a good Dutch name, everybody. And so, we call Salvatore Jack, and little Filippo, I call him Frank, Kaya calls him Ro, I don't know why, but guys, our family loves you, and the staff's been praying for you. Today's a big day. Before we jump into today's message, a couple of little things that I want to make you aware of is that my wife and I are actually going to be preaching together next week, and I am excited about that. If you've never heard my wife, she's phenomenal, and this is going to be the first time we've ever done that on a Sunday morning. We've done a Wednesday before, but never team taught on a Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that. And then the first Sunday in January, Pastor Brian Capiello is going to be bringing the word. I'm excited about that. It's going to be great. Also, that first Sunday in January, we're changing our service times. And so we have right now a 9:30 and 11. Next week, we'll still have a 9:30 and 11. But that first week in January, we're going to be going to 9 o'clock and 11. It's going to give us a little bit more time to transition, be able to flip the rooms, be able to serve you and especially your kids a little bit better than we are right now. Have a little bit of a breathing room, everybody. And so make sure you don't miss that. Also, that day is going to be the start of our new series called Finding Clarity. I think many of us want to take steps of faith. We want to be able to grow and change throughout the year. But if you want to do the impossible, you're going to have to see the invisible. And that probably just sounds like poetry, but the Bible actually has some solid scripture on how you can begin to take steps of faith, be able to see God's best for your whole year. Can I get an amen, everybody? Well, I want to jump into today by really just asking a question. Who in the room is ready for Christmas? Meaning, not like, yeah, I'm ready. Like, you don't have any more shopping to do. You don't have any more wrapping to do. Like, maybe the most that you'd have to call up shipped or go online for ship for is like a bag of potatoes. Like, you're ready. Who is that person in the room? You're a freak. Like, the rest of us are like, don't sit next to them, you know? And I mean, my kids are like, ready for Christmas right now? They talk about it every day. They wake up and say, is today Christmas? Like, is it now? Like, is now the time? We put out gifts under the tree like two nights ago, and man, Kai and I worked really hard at wrapping. And I say that meaning like Kai worked hard at wrapping, and I watched Christmas Vacation on the Apple TV. But they came up that day, and they were like, oh my gosh, is it Christmas? This is great. And they're running towards the tree, and we're like, nope. Time for Malta meal. Get over to the island right now, everybody. And so, like, we're ready in many ways, but it's kind of funny that this season, and we all live in suburbia. Like, if you even live in the country, you don't live in, like, the UP country, everybody. Like, you still live in suburbia. We still got, like, schools around us and stuff, and we live busy lives. We got stuff to do and schedules and practices and things where we coach or we're a part of, and we got a choir. We do all these different things. And then this time of year, we just heap a little bit more crazy on the pile, don't we? Like, if it wasn't enough, we got to go to a piano recital. We got to go to the band concert. We got to go to the choir concert. And it's like, you're so tight with your schedule already. You're like, look, kids, we're eating McDonald's this week because that was my time to go to Myers. And so hope you enjoyed your band concert. I loved it. Memories for everybody. And I'll take a double quarter pounder, you know? We got stuff to do and places to go. How many of you in here, would be honest, you say you send Christmas cards like every year or you try to send them every year? God bless you. We try to do that and they end up almost being like Happy New Year cards. We're so bad at it. It's almost like Happy St. Patrick's Day cards or something. And I'm Italian, not Irish, and so we don't send them. And so it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot, you know? And So we got all of these things that we have to do, we're supposed to do, and we start decorating. Like, this is nuts. You know, some of you are not, like, spatially aware, and so you're outside on ladders putting lights on your house. We're dragging dead trees in houses, risking life and limb to be able to celebrate all of these holidays. Now, listen, I'm not pessimistic as I say those things. And in fact, if you know me, like, nobody likes Christmas more than me. I love it. In fact, if you're wondering who I am Clark Griswold. I'm that guy. I got my Shaw collar and everything. I think I cook like him too. But, you know, I love this time of year. I plan to have fun. I save to celebrate the holidays. I encourage you, get you a Christmas tree, put up the stockings, watch the Santa Claus. But guys, I've lived enough life, gone through enough things in that life to realize that I don't want to be wearing a Shaw collar, eating sugar cookies, watching Charlie Brown, and miss out on what Christmas is all about. I heard a story about a specific noble family that was in Europe, and they had had a baby, and this was a big deal, and you wait like a month or two, and you have a big, huge christening party at the house, and this was at a massive palace, and they invited all the earls and dukes and barons and everybody that you could imagine. They're coming up to the house. This is hundreds of years ago, and they're all there to celebrate the baby and his christening, and kind of like just a fancy word for child dedication in a different age, in a different spiritual climate. And as the guests began to come, the person took their coats and was putting it over and laying it down, and they had all the different introductions of everyone, and finally came the time, after they all got their little toddy, that it was time to present the baby. And so they went up to go find the baby, and they couldn't find him. They looked all over the house. It was a massive palace, and they couldn't find the baby. The last place that they looked was underneath all the coats. And that baby was smothered by all of the pomp of the party. I just wonder, guys, if the pomp of the party has smothered the purpose of the party in some of our celebrations. If culturally we've rested a little bit too much on the fun and the red and green, and I got a jingle bell bandana, and all of that is great and fun, and I love that stuff. I love a good old-fashioned American Christmas. Everybody, like, I'm that guy. But I don't want to miss the purpose for the party in the midst of all of it. I don't want to miss what God is trying to do. I want to remove those coats that are smothering the one that this is all about. I want to resuscitate the spirit that this is all focused toward, which is all about Jesus. Can I get an amen? Because I believe when we pull back all the fluff, when we begin to actually pull back the things that are getting in between the true purpose, that's when we're actually going to enjoy our family so much more, have so much more fun and peace in the midst of it all. We read today in the book of Luke's Gospel 2, that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I think that there's a lot of questions this time of year, and I don't understand it, but I hear it a ton, like, what's Christmas all about? And guys, I'm going to break it to you. Christmas is a birthday. What's the true meaning of Christmas? Now listen, they make great, great greeting cards. They're awful at TV, and it is Hallmark, okay? The Hallmark channel's awful. There's women in the room going, "Oh no, no." And there's a lot of men going, "Yes, I love this church. Fill out the connection card, babe. I found home," you know? Why? Because they're always trying to take a stab at, like, what's the true meaning of Christmas? And by the way, guys, if you don't make a move and propose to your girl, the mailman who has a really cute dog is going to take your woman. That's the plot of all of those movies. What's happening? So, that's funny, I don't care who you are. It's all true, too. It's like watching any of those Nicholas Sparks movies. It's a massacre, you know? And so as you watch these things, they're always, what's the true meaning of Christmas? Well, I want to believe. Or we need to be generous, we need to be grateful, or we need to dream again. And I'm dying. Kaya makes me watch some of that stuff, and I'm just like, I'm learning to knit anything but watch some of these movies. And they're all just taking like a swing at what it is, but guys, it's a birthday. It's a birthday. It's whose birthday? Jesus' birthday. It's a celebration that's all about him. And I'm here to tell you that we can always look to Jesus. You know, the season is so busy and crazy sometimes, and we have memories of loved ones that are gone, and we have busy schedules, or we have letdowns, or maybe you wanted to give gifts to your kids, but you just can't afford to put on the Christmas that you wanted to. It could be a letdown, but Jesus never lets us down. You know, if we needed the government to solve our problems, God would have sent a politician. If education could solve the world's problems, he would have sent an educator or a teacher, but we needed a savior. So God sent Jesus. Can I get an amen, somebody? That's what it's all about. And if we can peel this thing all back to who he is and how good he is, that's what we were singing about. I'm telling you, even somebody who's far from God, when we're singing about his goodness, you can feel his presence. Because he is good. He sticks close when everything's falling apart. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. His goodness is unsearchable. His blessings that he has for you in your life are tied to purpose that doesn't end when your career ends. It lasts through all of eternity. That's the Jesus that we serve. Can I get an amen, somebody? So guys, when we get stressed about the stuff that we're going through in this world, remember that one thing never changes. The sun and moon are going to rise and fall, and Jesus never changes. Hallelujah. Have you ever gone to one of these white elephant parties? I went to one a couple years ago, and it was the last one I'm ever going to because it's absolute carnage. It's chaos. Anybody that likes some element of order in your life, you're going to hate it because you want to be able to count on something. If you don't know what it is, here's what it is. Everybody brings a gift, and they're all on a big pile, and somehow, whether you draw names or you're in a circle, but basically you go from person to person, and you get to go and either choose to open a gift or steal someone else's gift. Right. It's nuts. And so this was a couple years ago when an iPod Touch was brand new, and it showed up, and I opened it. And I'm telling you, it was exactly like that episode of The Office that we all like. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? And it's going around, and I'm getting to be the last person, and I'm still holding this thing. And I'm thinking, like, people are holding out for loyalty for their dear old man of God. Praise the Lord. Ashaha. You know, I'm just, thank you, Lord. And I'm holding it, and some joker opens up the last gift, and it is a box set of Bruce Lee DVDs. They took the iPod. In fact, I think we have a picture. This is years ago. You can see how much like Clark Griswold I've become. Look at the joy on my face. I still have that Bruce Lee DVD box set, and I went to look for it, and I can't find it. Glory to God. But here's what I'm trying to say is that, you know, in the midst of that game, it's all about this ability to be able to steal the gift. I think in many ways, we've made this whole Christmas celebration with all of the fun of it, it's actually been something that stole the real gift of it all. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, this is what Scripture says. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem." Verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother. They fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." It's the reason why at birthday parties to this day, this is the origin, why we exchange gifts to one another. Specifically, it's to the person who it's their birthday. But at Christmas, this birthday, it's the reason why we give gifts to one another. The origin all the way goes back to when Jesus was born and those wise men gifted him. Now, if Christmas is a birthday party, And the party's for Jesus, what does a good guest of the party, those of us that are celebrating this Christmas, what do we bring for Jesus? It's not a trick question. A plus, gold sticker. You bring a gift. You bring a gift to Jesus. But here's the big question, like, what do you give? That's a lot. Every Christmas, we make a Christmas list. Maybe you have your spouse and your kids. You got your aunt, uncle. Got your in-laws, your outlaws, you got everybody that you got to get a gift for that you don't really want to do that, but everybody drew names and it's $20 and you're like, I don't want to be the crazy maker. And so here we go, you know, and you got your list. Now, this is kind of a funny question. You see where I'm going, but is Jesus on the list? You know, what's funny about that is that if Christmas is a birthday party for Jesus and we're called to be the people that bring up a gift, It's just kind of funny to me that we're not the people that do that. So what do you bring Jesus? The guy that's got everything, you know? He's so hard to buy for, you know? What do you bring Jesus? He has everything. Jesus has almost everything. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, the scripture would tell me that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. A lost thing. In other words, he's looking to find his kids. Have you guys ever lost anything in the room? Anybody here, you've lost your keys before? Shame the devil and tell the truth. Your spouse right now is like, tell him, you know, you've lost. Isn't it funny when you lose something, how everything becomes peripheral? You can't focus on anything. You're just like Sherlock Holmes. You're on that thing. Where do we put it? You're looking at it. Kaya one time lost our keys, couldn't find it. We spent hours looking for them. The last place that we looked was in the oven. And so apparently when we were having dinner, all of the pots and pans were out. She put the keys up on there and not in that little bowl that I have prepared neatly by the door. And it went back into the oven. Well, the nice news is that the keys were warm. The bad news is we spent hours of our life trying to find them. But that's not as funny as you're laughing. But anyway, if you ever lost anything, I mean, everything really becomes peripheral. You're trying to figure out what you're trying to do. Well, we're lost, Pastor Joe. That seems pretty derogatory to call us lost. You only can lose something that's of value. If you have a really bougie wedding ring and you lost it, you'd be looking for that thing. I'm telling you right now, I'm a dad. If I lost $100, I'm all over that. You know what I mean? You know what you're not searching for? Same thing I'm not looking for right now is that Bruce Lee DVD set, because it doesn't have any value. You can't lose something that's not of value. You can only lose something that's of value. And so if you're in this room and you're not a Christ follower, well, first of all, I would say you're in the right place. The early church had Christians and doubters that were sitting right next to one another, because our God's big enough to stand up to your questions. And I would also say this, what God would say to you today is this, you're valuable, you're loved. And in fact, the great gift that we could give him would be relationship with him. The greatest thing that you could give him is to say, God, with the life that you lay down, I want to give you my life. I want to love on you. A couple scriptures just about God's love. In Romans 5, scripture says, God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a huge gift. Galatians 4, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And we read it to you today that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love gives, God gave. You know, the most amazing day, freeing day of your life, is going to be the day where you actually realize that you are not the center of the universe. that heaven and earth are not going to pass away because you didn't meet the deadline or figure out the thing or put on the Christmas that you imagined. When you realize that you're not the center of the universe, it's going to be a freeing day. And we all need to hit the revelation, the clarity of that, because what happens is we strive and scheme to make things happen in this world. And when we can finally say, God, have your way in my life, and we can rest in his presence. Guys, I'm here to tell you that that is where we're going to find peace, because we so clearly fall short. We make really bad gods. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus said this. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. What is he saying? Is the weight of the world on you this holiday season? Is right now a depressing time? He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. In other words, he wants to teach you how to do this. He wants to show you. He's so patient. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're in here and weary and you're weighed down this holiday season, remembering or trying to relate to what it should be, I'm here to tell you that through Jesus, it's the only way that you're going to find peace in this world. There is a peace that the world gives, but it completely depends on variables, the environment, how things turned out. There's a peace that God gives us through his Spirit. The Bible calls it the peace that passes all understanding. That your life can be falling apart. You might not be happy about it, but you can say, thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for peace. Thank God that there's a tomorrow. I'm telling you guys from experience that his goodness doesn't change because a circumstance changed in your life. So what do? We don't find hope in the world. Hope is not a topic. He's a person. His name is Jesus. We find hope and peace and resolution through him. It's so easy to lose it when it's based on how things turn out. It sounds easy, Pastor Joe. It is and it isn't. But it is a free gift. If you've never experienced God's love, today I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that in just a moment. But I've sat in services just like this one, surrounded by people that were excited to celebrate the pomp of the party, and they missed Christmas while they were celebrating it. Well, they were excited about the garland and the gifts and putting up a pine tree. They missed it. And so, New Chapel, I want you to put up your Christmas tree. I got like 3 in my house. Like, I'm excited. I am Clark Griswold. That anointing is on my life, okay? Like, do it. But don't just celebrate Christmas. Experience Christmas. Don't just string popcorn and roast marshmallows. Experience what it's all about. It's the advent of the God of all ages stepping out of heaven to cross a crystal sea and descend into our narrative, to step into our filth, our life, our lowliness, while we were yet jacked up, tore back, messed up, while we were yet sinners. He died for us. When we experience that love and stop just agreeing with it. Like, I believe in Jesus, great. Experience that love of God. Because when you experience, you're going to hear from a God that says, I don't condemn you. I don't hold your past sins against you. I'm not angry at you. My anger, all of that was satisfied at the cross. Well, Pastor Joe, you just don't know what I did. You don't understand. You don't get it. I went too far. I did too much. I messed up. Friend, I don't know what you did, and I can't understand what you went through. But I know Jesus. Now, I know what he's done in my life, and I've watched him change the worst, lowliest, craziest person, the most rank sinner, into somebody who's in love with the Lord. I don't know what you did, but this I know. I know my Jesus, and he has forgiveness and redemption and a tomorrow for you, despite how you feel. Hallelujah. That's available. It's in the room right now. You can feel it. It's the epitome of saying, hey, it's a new day. Some of you have been saved for years, and you feel this like there's a new day. There's a next step. There's a tomorrow. I'm going to let this day change me. I'm going to go through the holidays, and we're going to celebrate some of our old family traditions, but I'm going to experience Jesus in the midst of it all. Well, how do we receive the gift? You guys set me up so well in these messages, you know? Here's the offer. It's love, joy, peace that passes understanding. And it is a free gift, but it comes at a cost. And the cost is control. We as Americans love control. Anybody here just want to admit that? I do. Hand up. I love it. I love to know what's going on, what's next, what's this going to look like. And to quote Narnia, he's good, but he's not necessarily safe. He's God, and he's not going to tell you every plan that he has in a moment. He'll give you a call. He'll encourage you about the future, but he has no obligation to explain everything to you. He's good, but he's not safe. He wants to take you to heights that you never imagined. He wants to take you to spots of influence that you never could conceive. He wants to, in a word, put your feet on a rock. Take your worst and most ugly moments, the depth of despair, and leverage them actually to minister to other people with God's love. It's a free gift, but it's very, very expensive. It takes your whole life. When you get into relationship with Jesus, it changes everything. And guys, this is what it says in Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we've read it before even today. You believe in Jesus, right? Believe in him. I've heard people say before, Pastor Joe, that's awesome. I believe in Jesus. I set up my Christmas tree, and I think that he exists, and we hide Easter eggs, and I want to be a better person. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Have you ever heard people say that? I've said it. You know, it's not about believing in him. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says in James that even the demons believe in him and shudder. we know they're not going to heaven. It's those that have said, Jesus, I give control. I'm not just believing that you are a historical figure or that you're even the God of all ages. I believe on you. In other words, my hope for the rest of my life, my trust for tomorrow, my trust in the next breath that I breathe is in you. Without you, I can do nothing. I put my trust in you. In a word, you make him Lord. Somebody say amen. And maybe I'm that guy. I got a license to do this, everybody. I can step into your Christmas and be like, listen, he doesn't need you to agree with him that he exists. He needs you to trust him. Bank your life on him. How can you go through hard holidays and hard situations or maybe go through great holidays but really experience all that it is? Let me tell you how. It's when your life is based on, built on, resting on, I can't do it without Jesus. I can't take another move. I can't do anything. 7 out of 10 Americans would say that they're Christians, but would they say that? When you pray, do you hear his voice? Can you not wait to get into the house and worship and lift your hands and praise him? Are you excited about getting into his word? Friend, I will tell you, a regenerated spirit desires the things of God. Is your heart for this thing? Or is Christmas red and green and jingle bells? And again, I got all that stuff, but I don't want to celebrate all of it and miss God. So what gift do we bring him? We give him our life. We need to realize that Christmas is not about what we believe in. It's about who we believe on. And his name is Jesus. Some of you in the room today, you're a follower, but there's a pull right there where it's like, I got to do something. You've been in a spiritual funk or a dry season or a desert. Today's your day. Experience Christmas. New Chapel, we would say, come home for Christmas. Come home to where that relationship is. Maybe it was a season of your life where you were on fire for God. You look back there and you can see yourself praying and reading your Bible and taking notes, and you're so encouraged, but that season is gone. Life happened and things happened and you never thought you would land here. Today's a day. There is an on-ramp from heaven to just jump back in, get excited about Jesus again today. Maybe you were a person who always felt like an outsider. Like you had a religious family or extended family, and you knew Jesus was right, but you don't know him as your king, your Lord, in an intimate exchange. But though you think that he's right, you might be missing the pomp of the party for the purpose. Today's the day to be like, hey, I'm not all that in a bag of chips. I ate humble pie before. I'm going to eat it again. Crow tastes great. You jump into a relationship with Jesus. If you're in here today and you're just far from God, you came into this place and you're like, I'm coming here because my grandma's going to call me to check and see if I went to Christmas service. Or maybe somebody like talked you into coming and you're like, I'm here. This is weird. God loves you. He's all over your feet right now. God loves you. He has a plan for your life and it's good. What I want to do is give you an opportunity to pray. If you say this prayer like a religious exercise, stand up, sit down, turn around, and it's just repetition, it'll just be a religious act. But if you mean it sincerely from your heart, the Bible says that if you confess Jesus as Lord, you'll be saved. You'll avoid a Christless hell. You'll gain an eternity in heaven. But more than that, eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts the moment that you accept Christ. And so you can leave this place without everything perfect in your life, but a peace that passes all understanding. Can I get an amen, everybody? Those are people that have said this prayer. If that's you today on any 3 of those accounts, or if you're a Christian in this room, I want you to say this with those people saying it for the first time or coming back home as a declaration of your faith. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pray this with me. Pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give it up for those people that accepted Christ. Louder than that, New Chapel. Proud of you. Stand up on your feet, gang. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm not going to embarrass you and call you down to the front. There's things that we do that are public, like baptism. There's things that are private, like this experience that you had today in between you and God. What I am asking you to do is let me know. That same connection card that people are writing prayer requests on or first-time visitors are filling out, I want you to fill that out and check the box that says, I accepted Christ today. Here's why. You just made a big spiritual decision, and on Monday, you're going to be like, now what? I want to help you with that by sending you a letter talking about what your next steps in Jesus are and how you can take those and experience that freedom in Christ on a regular basis consistently. Church, let's give it up one more time for those people that accepted Christ. I am so proud of you. Welcome home. Guys, we have exciting programming. They're going to be handing you some of that information as you leave here today. But listen, like Santa Claus is at New Chapel. How awesome is that? He's like a perfect guy. I love this guy. And we've got a family photo booth. So if you're cheap, you're Dutch, you don't want to pay for family photos, I got you. I got you. And that's the way for you to get your Christmas card as well. We got a donut wall and cookies and more fun than you have time for. So listen, don't leave this place without having some fun in community. Let me pray for you first. Before I do that, would you all welcome my beautiful wife up here? Babe, come on up. Guys, listen, we love you and we've been praying for you. It's our honor to serve as your pastors. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, Merry Christmas. Go have some fun.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.